Radio. Thanks for joining us right here on Blog Talk Radio Revolution Zone. This will be our Revolution Zone for a little while. We're going to have our special guest on just in a few seconds. Hopefully everybody's doing good. You know, we've taken a little bit of a break. Like I said, everybody's in off season mode right now. Technically, I'm going to bring our guest on just in a second. I think we have him on the line. But technically, this is off season. Technically, there's no players signed to the team. Everybody's a free agent. So, you know, for now, we're going to let everybody have their off season, and then we'll get back as soon as John starts signing them all. But I see that our special guest is on the line. So without further ado, I want to bring on former defensive lineman for your Texas Revolution and by far one of the coolest guys as far as his story when you hear it in a minute that I've come across. Dustin Scherer. How you doing, Dustin?
I'm pretty good, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, but I don't think I'm doing quite as good as you are.
Ha, I wish, man. I wish I was there supporting the Reds the whole year round, man.
Hey, I definitely hear you. We'll get into your time with the Revs and why you're not with the Revs here in a second. But yeah, just as I was telling people you were going to be on, everybody seemed to always say great things about you. They loved having you around the organization. They hated it got cut short and everything. And everybody I've talked to from like, it seems like every chapter in what could be a really cool book, you've done some really cool things in the last few years.
Yeah, I've tried to just dibble and dabble as much as I can. I guess a lot of people say too many irons burning in the fire, you can't focus on one thing, but I think I love to just, I think you only got one life. I think you should try as much as you can.
Oh, I definitely agree with that. And we definitely appreciate you joining us on here for Revolution Zone. As I was telling everybody, the way things work about this time of year is technically there's nobody signed to the team, so everybody's in off-season mode, so as everybody else took a break after tonight, we'll take a break from this as well. And you know all about the off season, but tell us what it was like growing up in and around the El Paso, Texas area.
Oh man, football was life out there. I mean, it was right on the border, and you really don't understand how much football meant to the community, just as a whole. Like it was rivalries, the West Side, the East Side. Then we had the Pride of the West Side game. I mean, it was every Friday. It was live. The bands, the desert parties, like everything that about El Paso was awesome. I loved growing up and having the chance to play there and grace the stadium at UTEP.
I believe that's actually also the hometown of one of my favorite pro wrestlers, Eddie Guerrero. So anytime you can be from any place Eddie Guerrero was, it's definitely a cool place.
Right? El Paso, put out Eddie. Eddie, I love Eddie. Good old
Oh, yeah, he was fantastic. But let's see. You know, what I usually like to do, especially when I have people I haven't had on before, and I like to get your story up to this point as you can start wherever you want to and you can end it wherever you want to. Just kind of your story up to this point.
Okay. Well, I mean, it just started from when I was in Little League. As soon as I could walk, my dad put me in flag football and got me into Taekwondo for fighting and I've been playing football my entire life. It's really just got me through school, college, and it just gave me a lot of opportunities. And I was my junior year in high school, I was in a car crash where I had my skull was crushed. I had to be flown to a hospital where I died on the table, and I had to learn how to walk again. And
wow.
It was, you know, a lot of people were negative about it, saying I wouldn't even walk. I mean, not walk, just I'd never be able to play again. But, you know, you can't really listen to anyone in a situation like that. You just got to keep going. So that was my little comeback story, was I was able to come back, learn how to walk and play football and also fight in the cage and end up on reality TV. So I just don't think anyone should have an excuse for anything in regards to their body or health-wise, because you can get through it. I mean, there are certain circumstances, but really the only things hold you back is what you let hold you back.
Absolutely. I think that's definitely some good words to live by. And yeah, I'd heard a little bit about the crash, but I didn't quite know the severity of it. Man, just, I mean, I don't want to bring up bad memories for you, but I mean, what was that like the initial thing? Like, did you always think, hey, I'm getting through this? Or was there even that little bit of doubt, like, man, I don't know what's going to happen?
To be honest, it wasn't as much as doubt as it was, is my body going to, you know, is it physically possible? And, you know, after you take so many steps and the nurse keeps telling you after you take those steps, you got 10 more, you just build off it. And it's just, you know, you just can't really think anything bad about it. If you think bad things are going to happen, if you just keep working at something. And I had a whole lot of support, though, you know. When I was in the hospital and before I even came out of my coma, my entire football team was there supporting me. I mean, football is a family. You can't get past that fact that football is just a straight family. And I think that's what the Revs is, why they built so good and so fast, was because it's a family atmosphere. I mean, everyone on the team didn't even call me Dustin. They called me Deshaun, because I was the white guy, but had the talent, so I was Deshaun. So it was great. It was just, it was amazing. I guess you can go a lot further when you have like a good family backing you and just the right support group. But I mean, don't get it twisted. You can do so much on your own. You don't need help. Like, it's the only person you got to convince is yourself, and that's just a fact of life right there.
Absolutely. That's what I've even told one of my youngest nephews. He just turned 6 the other day, so I'm trying to get him started on some things. But I told him that the most important thing is to always believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, how can you expect others to?
Exactly. The first person that's got to believe is you, or you'll just stay stagnant.
Exactly. And you just can't stay stagnant. You got to keep your legs moving. That way you won't fall over.
Yeah, just like as a running back, keep falling forward. Never fall.
Yep.
Never fall back. Always fall forward.
And, you know, we'll get into your time with the Revs here for a second. You were there for just a short time because the injury bug caught up to you again. Was that a re-aggravation of the one you got in Sioux City, or was this a completely different injury?
This one was a re-aggravation of the one in Sioux City when I played for the Bandits.
Mm-hmm.
Really what it was is, The risk factor to me playing for the Reds wasn't enough for the paycheck.
Right.
And not necessarily anything. The Reds paid good and everything. It's just, you know, a $200,000 surgery versus, you
right.
know, arena pay. And then, you know,
yep.
I'm risking my legs. It was, I cried. I got very emotional with the coach. It was just, it was a hard time. But, and, you know, I was thinking that a lot of players with this new RPFL, I don't know if you've heard about the Rivals Professional League. They're having tryouts this year, and I think the league's supposed to go hard in 2018. But if you want to do some check that out, yeah, there's a new league coming out called the RPFL if you want to check it out. But not to take any glory away from the Reps, because there's not a better team to watch. I mean, but
right.
I think that's going to affect out what you were talking about with the people, you know, the free agencies now, where the players going to go. I think that might affect some of the players if they choose a different route. So I was just bringing that on topic.
Maybe so, and I'm going to definitely have to check out the RPFL, and maybe the eagle-eyed Bill Cerna can catch me up on that if he's listening in right now, because he seems to know a lot. Because I threw it out there to – I don't know if you know Bill Cerna that was with the team. I threw it out to him. I threw it out to the now former play-by-play caller, Sonny Clark of the Revolution, and also assistant GM John Tavares. And I got some questions from them and some fan questions coming up later. But they all distinctly remembered you and said you were definitely a great person to have around the team. You always inspired others to do things, and They said you even worked out like a villain back then, because your workouts are just insane. I'm glad we don't live within distance, because you could probably kill me in your workouts.
Man, I just, you know, a day not getting better to me is a day getting worse. I don't believe there is a such thing as overtraining. Too many people undercut the body's ability to adapt. And when you throw up weight every day and you push yourself every day, you're going to get better every day. That's just the strict body adaptation adherence. And that's just a fact of life. If you squat every day, your squat's going to go up. If you bench every day, your bench is going to go up. If you want to get faster, if you run every day and you do some research on the right chilling to build up, the right training schemes to build up, the box jump, the negative, everything to build, you're going to get better. And people say, oh, well, I only train 3 times a week. I need a rest day. I don't believe in rest days. I train twice a day, every day, 7 days a week. So I'm in the gym about 4 hours a day for myself, for what I do as a career, with my training and my possible new fighting, and we'll see where everything's going.
Yeah, I didn't know you were getting into fighting.
Undefeated in MMA when I was playing for the reps. When I got to the reps, I was already undefeated in MMA. I was taking a break from fighting to do my football stuff. I had my agent set up, you know, and made some good little NFL talk here and there. Had some really good ideas and prospects and some people reaching out to me, and that's when my neck started hurting and I had to make the crucial choice to just cut the season short and pursue other avenues.
Wow, I didn't know that. But I could, you know, just based off your conditioning and especially former backgrounds and all the activities you've done, MMA would definitely be something I see you successful in.
Yeah, I want to be the meanest person in the world at 205 pounds. So I'm going out to Vegas in January. I'm going to get with the Couture's camp and talk with them out there, and we're supposed to see if we can, get me in a next pro fight in the next year, do after from there, see if I end up on that pay-per-view.
And then, of course, since you said about being the meanest, that brings up what a lot of people knew you from when I threw out your name or your picture, was that you were on a little show on CMT just not long ago that happens to be hosted and created by one of my favorite people, Stone Cold Steve Austin. Tell us a little bit about being on the Broken Skull Challenge.
Oh, man, it was an amazing experience. You know, a lot of people think these reality shows are fake or it's all schemed or... You know, I can tell you right now, there was nothing fake about it. We showed up. We weren't allowed to talk to one another. We had a physical evaluation. They made sure we were okay, like, to compete, because we go all at it. And then and then they just start us. He shows up. He does it. We didn't get to talk with him. I mean, he's a hell of a guy just from, you know, getting to know him from a little bit on set. But it was all filmed the same day, and it was crazy. You get 8 top lead competitors and go at it in head-to-head challenges, single elimination. It's going to be fireworks every time. Because you got to put it all on the line. It's not like best out of 3 rock, paper, scissors. It's you
right.
Either win or you take the walk. And I was fortunate enough to dismiss all my competitors until the last one where I felt that I had got him out and he didn't. And I lit up and gave him position and he won. I mean, there's no excuse with the loss. I lost, but he's a hell of a competitor. I wish I wanted to bring home that 10 grand and, you know, have another Revs achievement on the side.
Exactly, and I like that you're one of the few competitors, because I am an avid watcher of that. In fact, I just watched 3 of the older episodes over the weekend just because I like the show that much. It definitely looks like there's nothing fake about that show, and you're one of the few competitors that when you get eliminated right before the obstacle course at the end, the Skull Buster, your response was exactly what you just said. It wasn't an excuse. You're like, you know what? I thought I had him out. I let up a little bit. When you let up is when somebody gets you. And like you said, that guy had a better wrestling background. And you're like, I was outmatched, so I tried something, and it didn't work.
And I had him beat. I had people that were messaging me saying, man, he was out,
did.
Everyone. But it just, you know, it's not here or there. You know, I was just blessed to be in. To take the field of battle with anyone is a true blessing. But competition is really what drives us. In any instance in the job market and anything, competition is what puts you to a greater level. If you want more money, you gotta compete. If you want to become a better fighter, you have to compete. You cannot get better without competition. You can't play yourself in chess and expect to get better at it.
Exactly. And of course, we're on with Justin Scherer, who is I swear, if you wrote a book on your life up to this point, even it's got to be a number one bestseller. And if it's not, then book people just
the life of violence.
Yeah, and you know that brings me back to the Broken Skull Challenge there in the first round. For one, that event is one of my favorite, but I feel like I would probably get drowned in it. But where did that come from?
Trench warfare.
Yeah, trench warfare. When you went like that, was it just the emotions, or did you have that like sitting right on your shoulder?
Violence has always been it's something that I would scream when I played football, when I'd headbutt people before the game to get them psyched up, because you have to play with violence and intensity if you want to play good. It's just something that I just started screaming. I mean, I think if when I played for Sioux City, I was the only white guy on the team, so you have to come with the crazy.
Mm-hmm.
The comedian says, you know, when you see all those brothers and you see that one white guy, that's the one you got to worry about. So that's kind of the guy I was. I wanted to be the guy that I was the guy that was headbutting people, screaming violence, and making plays, because that's the type of intensity that motivates the team. You can't have a leader on the battlefield that speaks calmly. I mean, you can, but I'd much rather have someone motivating me with screaming to go kill somebody.
I agree with that. And it brought us to our first fan question, which actually came from John Navarez of the Revolution.
Oh, I love John.
Oh, he is fantastic. We finally moved him out of a bad neighborhood, and he survived his appendix trying to kill him, so I think he's good now. But he wanted to know, did your neck injury affect you on the show?
No, it did not affect me on the show. They asked about it, and they knew about it, but with my doctor's clearance, that's why I'm being allowed to fight as well. I had to direct contact, so if I, were to take a jab or a direct hit, it's not going to affect my neck. I'd have to get slammed directly on the top of my head. So in most of those challenges, there was really, the second one was the tire flip that I won, and then the third one was the chain pull. There's really not any instances where I can get head-to-head contact, so they weren't worried about it.
Right.
To be honest, I was not going to let anybody keep. Once they flew me out there, they could have said, "Sir, we're not going to use you," and I still would have stayed on set and done something. That's just one of those things. I was not going to not be on that show. So regardless, I would have played. If they told me, "Well, you have to sign a waiver for your life," I still would have done it. To be honest, I've contemplated still going for NFL and just signing away my waiver, but you know, we'll see. That's for another time. I got some other things going on with this fight camp, so we'll see what goes on with that.
Exactly. You know your body better than anybody, right?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's what I'm just worried about.
Now, I know you'll make a good decision on it. Probably off the air, I will get maybe some personal fitness tips, but as much as you work out, is there some general fitness or nutrition tips that you would tell somebody? It could be, you know, just somebody walks up to you on the street. What could I do to get in better shape, or what am I doing wrong?
Do legs as often as possible, because really the basis of getting in shapes comes down to really one thing. You got to burn more calories than you ingest. That's really all it is. It's the reason people say, "Oh, I'm on this diet and I'm getting in shape," is because they're eating healthy food. Healthy food has way more or less calories. So when you eat this little healthy food, you're still doing the same amount of work, except you're not having near as much calories from the junk food. So if you want to get in shape, all you have to do is macro out your calories and burn more than you eat. And that's easy to do, especially when you switch to healthier foods, because they're not calorie-dense foods. There's a lot more calories in a honey bun than there is in a piece of lettuce. So all it is more calories than you ingest. That's all weight loss is in fitness. And if you want to look good, you work that area of your body.
That being said, I'm also glad you're not sitting in studio, because you might slap me when I say that I actually had half a honey bun earlier today, because my dad bought two of them, and he was feeling guilty about it, so I ate one of them so he wouldn't feel bad. But I promise you, that's the only one I've had probably in the last month.
Hey, you know, you're helping out your family with honey buns. I can't complain about that, even as a trainer.
Exactly. If he won't listen to me about exercising and doing some other things, at least he listens to me about not eating both of them.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, man. You got to help the ones you love. I'd be willing to eat a honey bun for my dad anytime. So.
Exactly. Let's see. Were you always on the defensive line?
I was on the defensive line, and I was also as an offensive fullback. Not for the Reds, though, but just wherever else I've been, they'd have me at the specialty blocker.
I can see that.
Yeah, fullback. We had actually a play designed to give me the ball because I told him I could get it in 5 yards, but we never got to use it when I was playing.
Right.
So, but other than that, yeah, I was a football fullback, tight end. I was a punter and defensive end. I actually had a really good punt. I thought about just going to the league off punting.
That's not a bad idea. It's a lot safer position, but I mean, I know you're athletic enough for it, and if somebody was dumb enough to try to put a hit on you, I think it might hurt them more.
Yeah, I'd love to light up one of those safeties returning it, too. They're not expecting a punter that's going to hit him and destroy him.
That's true. Because
what punter is going to scream violence at you?
I was about to say, there's a few punters that can put some good hits on people. You know, Steve Weatherford's pretty good and jacked, but I don't think they'd know anything like you.
I'd hope not. I feel sorry for the people that ended up like me. Because they had a rough life.
let's see. You actually went to, is it Bacon College?
Yeah, well, I actually started out at UTEP, University of Texas, El Paso. And from UTEP, I went over to Bacon College, where I got the fortunate chance to play with Cam Newton. I mean, at Blinn Junior College out in Brenham, Texas.
Right.
And then actually from there, I went to COC, and I got to play with Jason Pierre-Paul.
That is actually that was actually going to move me into my next question because that's what Bill Serta wanted to know, who works with Revolution. He wanted to know what it was like to play with Cam Newton at Blinn and then Jason Pierre-Paul be on the same defense as that guy.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you about each person. Cam was every day after practice, he was there for an extra 30 minutes working his footwork, working with the receivers. Cam Newton put in the work. Jason Pierre-Paul was just so gifted that he was late. Like, he was actually a lazy individual at COC. Like, he didn't want to finish the conditioning. He'd fall down during our sprinting, be like, I can't go on. But he was just a freak athlete with his body. He has a genetically built body, and he was an athlete. You can't argue with results. Even if you weren't doing working your ass off at practice, you couldn't argue it at the results he put in the game.
See, I could see him. We have a term for that on our NFL show we do at Impact Media. We call that being a gamer. One of those guys, Jadeveon Clowney's a gamer. Cam Newton's been known as one, but now we found out he actually works a lot during practice. But a gamer,
oh, yeah,
basically.
He didn't drink either. He didn't drink or party. Like, I remember when I took him out to College Station, I worked at all the bars when I was in Brenham, about 25 minutes away from Brenham, in College Station, and I took him out to the bar, and every time I tried to get him a drink, he would just pass. He was just real polite and friendly, and he worked. He didn't drink. He didn't smoke, and he put in the work. I mean, he led Blinn to a national championship as well. He went Blinn national championship, Auburn national championship, and then he went to the league to go to the Super Bowl. I mean, he earned it. He was an earner. Jason Pierre-Paul, he was an athlete, but he didn't put in the work that I think if he could have been the best in the league, like he could have been a J.J. Watt version of himself, like known for it, but he just plays with firecrackers too much.
Yeah, I'm not gonna at least not on this show, because we try to keep it nice and positive, but I'm not gonna repeat the joke I said earlier about that. So
I'm not saying you were.
I'm just saying that the joke I said earlier about JPP is not something I'm gonna bring up on here, just in case he's listening.
Right. Okay.
Just know it was funny. I'll tell it to you offline.
That's what I can't wait.
But let's see. Now, you seem to be a pet lover. You have a couple dogs, right?
I love dogs, man. I mean, I love all animals. It's funny because, you know, I'm known for screaming violence, but if I hit a bird with my car, I'll cry about it. I love animals, man. I'm just an awkward combo. I'm one of those guys. It's, you know, just love animals.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. Like I said, do you have two dogs now?
Well, I got three poodle brothers. They're brothers. You can't separate brothers. That's just a fact of life. So I got the three poodles, and then I have a little cute pup named Booty, and I got a little dachshund named Bella.
Wow, you got a house full of dogs then. That's awesome, though.
I trust dogs more than I do people.
You know, there's a lot of truth in that. It's hard to disagree with that sometimes. And, of course, you were an exercise science major. Now, did you always want to be in that, or was that just because you love fitness and working out so much?
I've always wanted to be it because I wanted to help people, especially after my car wreck. When I had to do my rehab, it's so hard for someone to tell you to walk or move your legs and you can't move them. I mean, so that's why I got into it, is I wanted to help people because it's rough. Physical therapy is the reason I got into exercise science. I wanted to branch off into physical therapy and help people recover on their road to, recovery. But I actually left to chase the NFL and stuff out of college and did my combine, and I actually haven't even got to finish my exercise science degree. And I went to all the listeners, and it's been the biggest mistake of my life. Like, I feel so terrible about it. Like, I'm going back to college to get it, and I shouldn't have waited, though. I'm only a year away, but it was the worst mistake. I mean, it's never a mistake to pursue your dream and chase the NFL because I wouldn't regret it in a heartbeat. I had so much fun. It was amazing. But at the same time, if I'd have had that school, I'd have a lot more easier financial backfall. I wouldn't have had to travel so much and do modeling on book covers to get my money.
You know, we'll get into that just in a second, but you've actually done some modeling as well. How did you get into that? Did they approach you, or did you answer an ad in the newspaper, or how'd that work?
Someone actually messaged. They said you should model. I'd love to have you as a book cover, and I laughed at it. I'm just like, yeah, that's kind of funny. Well, like, no, I'm serious. So they set up this photo shoot, and I ended up doing it. And as soon as the photos came out, I started getting contacted by all these authors from literally all over the world, Sydney, Australia, the UK, like everywhere. Like, people just invested in me, loving my photos enough. They wanted me to be on their book covers. So I did these photo shoots, and I ended up just. Because to be honest, I just think I'm ugly and I have a great personality, but apparently I look pretty good on a book cover. So I've been doing that for about 3 or 4 years now, and I think I'm on the cover of 6 or 7 novels, and I got photo shoots lined up for the next year or so. So that's always a side project that I like to work on and see where I can get it.
Well, now I will never admit to buying, you know, the books you're on in person, but it is kind of cool when I because, hey, we're guys, you know, but. Not that that really would matter to me, but at the same, you know, if I'm walking through a store and I've seen a few of the covers you're on, and I just look and grin, and my wife has looked before, and she goes, "What?" And I said, "Remember that guy I told you?" I said, "That's one of his book covers." She happened to say she did say that you are in incredibly ridiculous shape, and that it was a good book cover, and that's as much of that as I'll repeat.
It's a good story. Coffee book table.
Hey, I don't even have friends that have written books yet. I'm probably the one out of my friend group that'll actually write a book one day or something. But it's cool to say that I know somebody on a book cover. That's really cool.
Yeah, it surprised me more than any man. Trust me, man. I just have a good personality. I don't know why people want to stare.
And then are you still bartending out in Colorado?
Yeah, I still actively bartend. I love communicating and making people laugh. My second hobby is doing a stand-up bit here in a little bit, so we'll see how things go with stand-up comedy. I'm kind of tall.
Oh, yeah, you're hitting the full spectrum of, the bucket list, and you're doing it in, 3 years.
Well, I really think that's the only way to live. I mean, a lot of people ask, well, will you travel a lot? You know, I'm moving to Vegas in January and all these different things, and it's like, I haven't tied myself down or stayed in one place because, I mean, there's so much of this world to see. Like, one life isn't even close to the amount of time you need to experience the world. So I'm not going to limit myself at all. I mean, there's just no reason to because there's way too much out there to just be stuck in a spot or be I guess the word would be okay with where you're at, being comfortable and not going that
complacent.
Extra step. Yes,
complacent.
Exactly.
Yes. And I'll definitely say part of how Impact Media come about is I nicknamed myself the Impact years ago because I wanted to be one of those people that I didn't want to make an impression in life. I wanted to make an impact. And so everybody that I have on any of the shows here at Impact Media, I try to make sure they're people I think make an impact. I think you're doing a good job of making an impact on this world.
Man, thank you very much, man. That means a lot to hear because really the only thing that my overall goal in life is to just inspire as many people as I can before I leave this world. And, you know, you never know when people are going to leave or when your time is up. I mean, we've all probably pretty much experienced that. So my goal, my goal with that in terms is just to inspire people, and then we'll see where it goes from there. But I really appreciate that.
Hey, you're quite welcome on that. And we got a couple more questions as we finish up with soon-to-be world traveler and book cover model and veteran of the Broken Skull Challenge, Dustin Scherer, right here on the Rev Zone. Have you ever thought about writing a book about some of the stuff?
I thought about coming back to the Rev.
Really?
Yeah, because I've got a little downtime in between, like with my fighting and my stuff, and I know the season's come up, and really what it comes down to is my choice. Like, my neck will hold out. It's the same thing Peyton Manning has, except I just refused to get the surgery.
Right.
And it's twice as bad. It was a lot worse. But, yeah, I'm actually a lot faster than when I played with the Rev, because I've slimmed down and switched up my training regimen. But the Revs was a family. Like, you can't, like, just if you went to one of the games and you saw shit live and you saw Slay, you'd love it. It's just one of the things that just to go back and live in a hotel and be part of that family and just destroy. It's just a blessing. And I tell that to any player that's thinking about trying out for the Revs or trying, you know, to make that step. I guess the family, man, it's worth it. I'd say do it. And it's a great stepping stone to get where you want in the NFL or Canada or with this new RPI, this RPFL that's doing the 4-year, $260,000 contract. So it's just do it. I recommend checking out the Revs. And I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I'm cutting you off. What was that question you were saying?
I was saying, have you ever thought about writing a book about your life to this point?
I figured I'd write a book after I've helped enough people. And I'm not anywhere near I want yet. So after I've inspired more people and get some stuff going, I would write a book. And once I make it to that heavyweight, when I'm fighting on pay-per-view for the UFC, I'll start writing my book.
Hey, definitely. I will stay in contact. I'm not afraid to pony up the money if I know you're going to fight. So I would attend it.
Huh. I hope so, man. Hopefully be screaming some violence after some victories in the league.
Oh, yeah. We'll get some maybe I'll get our T-shirt lady here to print up some hashtag violence shirts or something, start sending them out your way.
And that would be awesome, man. I'm actually going to be starting probably a clothing brand called Red Rum Fitness Wear, Murder Your Body. So we'll see where that goes. But definitely some big things. I'd love that to happen.
Oh, yeah, that'd be awesome. And before I get to the last question I have for you, which is I try to end it on a good note. The fans reached out to me and said stop being serious at the end. So we try to have a fun question at the end, but I got one more fan.
I'm ready.
Well, I got one more fan question first, and then I'll get into my last question. The fan wants to know, how many times have you gotten a chick's number after she found out you're on the cover of a book?
To be honest, as a bartender, whenever I have a girl client, that's the first thing I bring up. And just small talk, and, you know, as a bartender, that's what we do. And, I mean, it's happened a lot. Like, you'd be surprised that a fun fact is girls read those books as much as guys watch porn. So
yep.
It's a great startup. I'm not gonna lie, it's a great startup pickup line. And I think, girls would love to go on a date with a guy on the cover of a book. It's kind of it's cheating. It makes it easier. Is all I'm saying. It's a rigged game.
Oh yeah, anytime it can make it easier for guys in the dating world, trust me, I'm all for it because it's.
Oh yeah, you have a little TV time. It's a nice little talk about subject. You can get a girl's number pretty easy.
Oh, exactly. It's you know, you can be right there with the returning military heroes, stuff like that. They tell her their stuff, and you're like, hey, I was on this book cover, and you just pull that out of your pocket, and everybody's like, oh wow. And then and the easiest way for you to prove it, if they're like, well, I don't know if that's you. Shirt comes off, they go, that's you.
Yeah, I've had to do that a couple times at my bar. We had a bachelorette party come in last week, and they asked me to strip on this girl, and I said, no, I can't. I'm at work, because I used to be a stripper in Dallas up there. And they went and asked my manager, and I said, if my manager says it's okay, next thing I know, my manager's running up smiling, saying, oh, they're going to tag the bar. So I had to do it again, but it's just one of those things that surprises you more than not.
Well, then, you know, I don't know if you have an agent. I did go to school. I have a marketing degree along with business management, but I was going to be a sports agent for a while until I got where it just seemed like it wasn't the path I wanted to go to. But, you know, if I was your agent, maybe we can get you on the next Magic Mike movie.
It's funny that you say that because I was supposed to be in Magic Mike XXL. Not me personally. It's just Joe Manganiello, the one that came out with the LeBert documentary. He's in the sequel, and he flew out everyone that worked at Dallas LeBert to be on the show. The only thing was is I was doing my pro my arena stuff at the time with the Rebs or with the Bandits, and I left right before they started and flew them out and filmed that movie. My friends were all on a Queen Latifah show. The documentary was on LeBert. I got there right after the documentary was filmed, and then I left right before Magic Mike XXL was filmed.
Wow. Man. But, hey, the thing I live by is everything happens for a reason. You must have been destined for something better.
I hope so. You know, I just wouldn't, you know, all my glory still goes to God. You know, I wouldn't be where I was. If you knew a little more about that car wreck, like, there's no way I should have lived. They told my family I was going to die. There was just too many things, like an army helicopter just so happened to be doing drills in the area where I crashed in the middle of nowhere that was able to fly me. Just too many small things add up to coincidence. It's not a coincidence, it's a miracle. So, you know, all my glory still goes to the man upstairs. I'm nothing without him. And, I just wanted to say that.
Absolutely. I'm right behind you on that one. It's, you know, we all go through our trials and tribulations, but as long as you put your faith in the right place, I think it all works out for us.
Exactly. I completely agree.
And then that brings me to my last question as we finish up here with Dustin Scherer, who has you're towards the top of my list now. Some of the favorite people I've ever interviewed on here. You're a lot of fun. And I'll throw this out here probably a couple more times over text and phone calls. But if you're ever out in the Atlanta area, because during the NFL season, the Impact Media Studios are out here in the Atlanta area, definitely hit me up. We need to hang out sometime.
Oh, most definitely, man. I actually had rumored a photo shoot out in that area, so I'll definitely hit you up.
Definitely so, because we cover Georgia State football, and you know, we'll probably get some tickets to a game, or we'll go tailgate with some of the big Falcons tailgate guys, and I got some connections out this way.
Yeah, man, and, you know, I've actually thought about getting an agent. A lot of people have told me to do that from the beginning. I've just always liked to do things on my own, so you never know, though.
Well, here's how I'll defend it, because I'm very much the same way. I like to do a lot of things on my own. But in the world of entertainment, if you have somebody with the extra connections or the extra, you know, sticks in the fire, so to say, of an agent, sometimes they can get you places you didn't know existed.
Well, I've always wanted to go to places I didn't know existed.
Exactly. Last question I got for you, though, and I'll let you on to your evening so you can practice your stand-up. And I'm gonna try to either hack a system, which in case the NSA is listening, I have no idea how to hack a system. But I'm gonna try to find a video of your stand up and see what how good you really are. But in the movie of your life, who would you want to play you at this point?
Keanu Reeves, man. That dude's a fucking man.
Oh man.
He is the man.
That's a great one. I used to dog on him a little bit because he's like, I was like, well, he only says five or six words. And then I thought about it and I said, well, so does Steven Seagal and all these other guys that I like. It's just they don't need to say 300 words to say something they can say in five.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, everyone said I looked like the guy from John Wick at one point, so it was just funny to me.
I actually could see that now. They are in this studio, my producer's holding up a picture of you and the John Wick character. I can see it. It's good to know my producer. It's good to know my producer's still in the room because I haven't heard from him. So,
yeah, the John Wick picture. Yeah, I laughed at that, and then I didn't believe it until I started all my bartending clients and stuff, because all my coworker bartenders said you look like John Wick. I was like, you full of shit, or Keanu Reeves. And so everyone started calling me Keanu. And then they held up pictures, and they were like, dude, you do, so. Well, I guess. I don't know. I think I'm more of a young George Clooney.
Hey, run with it, you know? George Clooney's had, what, a 30-year run on top?
Yeah. Well, he's a very good actor. It's a powerful screen presence.
Exactly. But, what do you have coming up here that you want to plug? Because I'm going to give you the platform here to plug any new projects you got coming up or current ones you have going on.
I got no projects coming up right now. I just want to say, I mean, besides the fighting and stuff, the move, I told you pretty much all about my future. It's going to be fighting in football and nothing much changes. But actually, we'll see some movie stuff might be coming my way up in March out in Vegas. So you never know. I might be gracing the silver screen. I got some few things and some next people contacted me about wanting me to play an evil guy. But, you know, we'll see what happens.
Hey, I will definitely be one of those people to go watch that movie. Like I said, you're absolutely a just spectacular human being, which is, to me, more important than any kind of sports accolade. And you're definitely somebody that makes an impact over making an impression. And, you know, I wish you the best of luck at everything, Dustin. And obviously everybody here at Impact Media and me personally are right here cheering you on.
Hey, thank you so much for the time and letting me be able to talk to y'all. And go Rebs, man. It was just a blessing.
Absolutely. You know, we got some NFL stuff coming up here in the next couple months. We might have you guest appear on some of those shows.
No, most definitely. If the Raiders give me a walk, I guarantee you if the Raiders gave me a tryout in Vegas, they'd probably put me on the practice squad day one.
Hey, if they didn't, they'd be their loss.
Right. Well, it was awesome talking to you guys, man. It was true. Like, thank you so much for taking the time and letting me be on the show with you guys.
Hey, no problem. I'm glad we were able to get you on. I know we wanted to get you on before, and our schedules were hit or miss, but glad to have you on. It definitely won't be the last time, and, you know, we'll see you on later down the road.
Almost definitely. I'll be down visiting if I'm not playing for the rest. Say hi.
Hey, then all the fans, you guys, he's not a hard person to find. He'll be the one outworking everybody else around him, so make sure to catch Dustin when he's in town. And, you know, like I said, have a great rest of your evening, and good luck in the stand-up.
You too, man. You have a blessed night. I'll talk to you soon.
Definitely so. And that was Dustin Scherer, former Revolution defensive lineman and all-around just spectacular human being. He's done just spectacular things. You know, the modeling, the book covers, Broken Skull Challenge, bartending now. He played for the Revolution. Got to play with Cam Newton. He was on the same defense as Justin Pierre-Paul. I mean, this is literally if he doesn't have his own 30 for 30 or E60 here soon, then I think they're missing out. But I appreciate him being on. You know, like I said, we're going to take a little bit of a break for the next few weeks or so as John Navarez and the rest and Charlie Hildebold and everybody else prepares for the upcoming season. As they sign people, I promise you I will do my best to get them on just as soon as possible. Some things coming up here at Impact Media. We got the, I don't know if it's really breaking news, but a lot of people saw the press release. The final Jaguar Zone will be next Thursday at 7. We got Falcon Zone coming up this Thursday right here at 7 o'clock Eastern. Tomorrow night, we will have our GSU Panther Zone show right here at 7 o'clock. That one's going to be fun. There's some fun things catching up there. Like I said, we got NFL. We got Georgia State. We got some all kinds of fun stuff coming up. Shout out to Dustin Scherer for being an all-around superhuman. As I said, he's definitely going to be on in the near future. Good luck to him and everything he does. And I'm Jeremy the Impact York. Cannons up. Go Revolution. We'll see you guys on later down the road.
Was that not clear without the bam? Yeah, okay. Bam! What?